Reading from Bhagavad Gita, verses 39 to 41. Verse number 40 is written on the board, so we'll be reciting that together. Neha Vikrama Nashosti Pratyavayona Vidyate Svalpamapiyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhaya. Thus far, I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen, as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Pratha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourselves from the bondage of works. Text 40. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Purport. Activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed. Otherwise, the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect. Even though not finished, the performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. One person done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%. Whereas in material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamil performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bujam harer bhajan apakvo atapate tato yadhi Yatrakvavabdharam abhudamushyakim kovartapto abhajatam swadharmata. If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or as the Christians say, what profit a man if he gain the whole world yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body, but work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in a rich aristocratic family. That will give one a further chance for elevation. That is a unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness. Text 41 translation. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So in Treta Yuga, Lord Ramchandra incarnated himself on the earth. And in the course of his engaging in so many pastimes, he engaged many living entities in his service. Especially when Mother Sita was stolen by Ravan, Lord Ram went in search of Sita, and to get Sita back, he took the help of so many living entities and gave them an opportunity to render service to him. Various living entities of various species. He took the help of monkeys, bears, human beings, spiders, trees, all species. Krishna says in the Gita, Aham Bija Pradapita. So everyone is a son of God. So the Lord gives everyone an opportunity to render service to him. So in this way, Lord Ramchandra performed his pastimes. And then he went back to the spiritual world. This was Treta Yuga. After Treta Yuga came Dwapara Yuga, which lasts around 8 lakh years. And towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, Lord Krishna advented, spoke the Bhagavad Gita, performed various pastimes. So after Treta Yuga comes Dwapara Yuga. After the long Dwapara Yuga comes Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, the Lord comes again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Navadvip Chandra. He comes in Navadvip Mayapur. He's the incarnation of the Lord, but is Channavatar. He is not openly discussed in the scriptures because he comes in the form of his own devotee. Krishna Varanam Tisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hismedasa. He is Krishna himself, but he doesn't have a dark complexion. He's got a golden complexion. And he has come along with his associates. And in this incarnation, he is worshipped through the Sankirtana Yajna, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't exhibit his identity as the Supreme Lord himself most of the times. He was teaching by his example how a devotee should behave. He came in the form of his own devotee. So that is why most people know him as a devotee of the Lord. But actually he is the Supreme Lord himself, as is confirmed by various scriptures. But during the course of his pastimes, there were instances wherein he exhibited his identity as the Supreme Lord himself. And one such instance was during his South India tour. So while Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, he came to a place called Saptatal, a place where there are 7 palm trees, huge palm trees, which are very old. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right in front of everybody's eyes, he went and embraced those trees, and the trees disappeared. And right in front of everyone's eyes, the trees went to Vaikuntha in the self same body. What is the significance of these trees? These trees had rendered a service to the Lord way back in Treta Yuga, when he had advented as Lord Ramchandra. When Lord Ram had to kill Vali, the Lord hid behind one of these trees to kill Vali. And after 2 yugas, after millions of years, the Lord is reciprocating for the service that was rendered by these trees. So this is the quality of the Lord. The Lord never forgets any service that is rendered to him. Even the smallest service. He just hid behind one of these trees to kill Vali. And in a passive way, the trees performed that service to the Supreme Lord. But the Lord never forgot that service that was rendered to him. The Lord is supremely grateful. Any small service rendered to the by the devotee, the Lord is supremely grateful for that service. In contrast, we see in this material world, people are ungrateful. Someone is in dire necessity and we help them in the time of the greatest need. But with the passage of time, they forget. And with the passage of time, we also forget. Because death, with death, we also forget ultimately, however great the service might be. We forget, they forget, the service is forgotten. We are living in times wherein whatever service is rendered is easily forgotten. But the nature of the service rendered to the Lord is different. Now, any service someone renders to the Lord is not in need of that service. The Lord is Atmaram. He doesn't require anyone's service. But the Lord, as a supreme father of all living entities, knows that if we render service to him in love, it is good for us. Like the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the example that if we are looking our face in the mirror, if we want to beautify our image in the mirror, then the easiest way to do that is by beautifying the face. When we decorate our face, the image automatically, the mirror image or the reflection automatically becomes decorated. So similarly, when a living entity renders service to the Supreme Lord and tries to give pleasure to the Lord, then automatically he becomes happy. This is the secret of happiness. We may not know it, but the Lord knows it. So the Lord is not in need of service, but the Lord wants the living entities to render him service so that the living entities will become happy. But still, even though he is not in need of service, when the living entity offers service to him, the Lord is so grateful. Just like a mother. Like I have two sisters, and when they gave birth to children, I was in school. So when a child is born, first few months, it is simply lying there. No movement, no facial expression, nothing. And the mother is taking care of the child very nicely. Selfless service. Bathing the child every day. Feeding the child every day. So my sister was taking care of the child. And one day she was very happy. Very happy. So I wondered, what happened? Why is she so happy? The reason was, that day, the baby smiled for the first time. Actually, babies, they smile only after maybe 1 or 2 months. They start smiling. They don't recognize who is smiling at them, but they start smiling. The baby doesn't know that this is my mother, she's taking care of me, nothing. It's like a spontaneous response. The mother smiles and the baby also smiles. When I smiled also, the baby smiled. The baby didn't differentiate that this fellow is another fellow. No. The baby smiled. Without knowledge, the baby is smiling and the mother is so happy about it. And she's even more enthused to serve the child now. Already she's taking care of the child without the child smiling also. But now, the enthusiasm to take care of the child has increased all the more. Similarly, the Lord is taking care of all living entities. Devotee, non-devotee, who is feeding everybody? Who is feeding the elephant in the forest? The Lord is feeding. He is maintaining all living entities. But when the living entity shows a little bit of reciprocation to the Lord is extremely happy. Just like the mother is happy. Someone comes to the temple, offer obeisances to the Lord. May not even know that here is a Supreme Lord who is standing here. He is Krishna himself, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. May not be even having the knowledge. But still the Lord has noticed that this fellow has come and the Lord is so happy. And he is even more encouraged to give protection to such a living entity. That is the nature of the Lord. That love, that loving reciprocation, that is what differentiates service rendered to the Lord and service in this material world. That element of love which is involved in rendering service to the Lord differentiates that particular service. And the Lord is grateful for that reciprocation. It's like on a birthday, a small child brings a gift to his father. He has brought that gift with the father's salary only. But still, because there is love involved, the father is so happy, so grateful. And the child might forget that he has given a gift. But years later, the father still remembers. Do you remember when you were a small child, you gave me one gift? Later on, the child might fight with the parents or whatever. Might even ask the parents, what have you done for me? Sometimes in anger. But the father remembers that one day when this boy was small, he had given a gift to me in love. Even though it was from my own salary. So that is the nature of the service which is rendered to the Lord. The Lord never forgets. We might forget, we might die. We might forget after death. In previous lifetimes, we might have rendered service to the Lord. We don't remember it. But the Lord remembers. So, Krishna is introducing the process of devotional service with this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Neha bikrama nashosti patravayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. In this path, there is no loss or diminution. Anything, any small service rendered on this path will never be forgotten. Why? Because the Supreme Lord will never forget any service rendered by the devotee. Neha bikrama nashosti. This is hope giving. Service which is never lost. Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna consciousness or devotional service rendered 2% in this lifetime. Next lifetime it will start from the point of 2% onwards. Why? Because the Lord is grateful for any service rendered to him. And we see that this quality of the Lord is exhibited by the pure devotees who are a transparent via media of the Lord in this world. Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. He went to the Western world to bring this divine process of devotional service for the benefit of all living entities. He sacrificed so much, endeavored so much. Then in 1966, in New York, some people started coming and started hearing his classes and started taking some interest. And seeing his personality, they felt that this devotional service is good. Maybe we should also render some devotional service. So one gentleman, his name was Steve. So he felt that I should do some service now. So once Prabhupada, who was at that time called Swamiji, he had mentioned in a lecture that mango is a king of all fruits. And he had also mentioned that in America, mango is not available. So Steve, he knew a place in New York City where in a store, some fresh mangoes were kept inside a cooler. So he started bringing one mango every day to Swamiji. Daily he started bringing one mango to Swamiji. So one day when he brought the mango to Swamiji, Prabhupada, he said, "Very good boy." And the way he said it, it was like, you know, encouraging a small boy. He was a grown-up man. So everyone started laughing. So Prabhupada immediately corrected them by telling that, "No, no, this is very nice. This is love. This is Krishna consciousness." Prabhupada encouraged. Now, Prabhupada didn't want the mango. Now, Prabhupada went from India. And in his childhood, during mango season, Prabhupada, as a child, while playing, he used to catch a mango in his hand all the time and eating the mango and playing whole day. And in India, plenty of mangoes were available. So he didn't go to America looking for mangoes, of course. He didn't expect people to come and give mangoes to him. Actually, he had sacrificed everything. Living in poverty, doing everything to give them Krishna consciousness, but when they reciprocated even a little, now it was fresh mango in one sense, but we can understand that that storekeeper, he's keeping it in a cooler. Definitely he won't get fresh stock every day. So from the same cooler he was removing and giving one mango every day. You never know how old the mangoes were. But nonetheless, it was brought with feeling, with love. And Prabhupada was grateful for that. Even a small service that is rendered, he was grateful. And then Prabhupada engaged them in devotional service so that they could get out of the cycle of birth and death, so that they could perfect their life. It was for their benefit. But whatever service they rendered, Prabhupada was grateful for the service they had rendered. Prabhupada was sitting in London and one of his disciples, Shubhag Maharaj, was sitting near him. And Prabhupada looked deep in thought. And after some time, a tear trickled down his eyes. And Shubhag Maharaj asked Prabhupada, "What are you meditating on?" And Prabhupada said, "I am thinking about my two disciples who are now in Hong Kong, who are sacrificing everything just to please me." He was referring to Bhurijan Prabhu and Jagat Tarini Mataji. He was sitting in London, Hong Kong, thousands of miles away. But Prabhupada was deeply grateful. 1977, Vrindavan, Prabhupada was in his last days. 2 weeks before his departure, he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he took out a ring from his one of his fingers, a ring which he had been wearing for many years, and he gave it to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and told him that please give it to George Harrison. And as he told it, he had tears in his eyes, tears of gratitude. Now, George Harrison had rendered service to Prabhupada way back in the 1970, somewhere 1970-71. Years ago, now Krishna consciousness had expanded like anything. At that time, Krishna consciousness was only on 2 continents. Now it was on 6 continents. The number of disciples at that time was maybe around 100. Now it was thousands. But Prabhupada never forgot that valuable service that was rendered. So that is the hope on the path of devotional service. The Lord never forgets. The devotee never forgets. The pure devotee of the Lord never forgets any service that is being rendered, however small or insignificant it might be. The Lord is always there. The devotee is always there to encourage. So you might be facing problems in devotional service, but the Lord is sympathetic also. No problem, you are trying. So the Lord is considerate. And whatever little we are rendering, the Lord appreciates. Just like in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna suddenly he says that, my Lord, chanchalam mi manak Krishna pramati balavad dhridam tasyaham nigraham anye vayur ivasya dushkaram. That this mind is so obstinate, my Lord, very difficult to control. I can control the raging wind, but to control the mind is very difficult. So what did Krishna reply? What is that verse? Asamshayam mahabaho mano durni graham chalam. That undoubtedly, Arjuna, the mind is very, very difficult to control. But it is possible. Abhyasena tu kauntaya vairagyena cha grahyate. But through practice and detachment, it is possible to control the mind. Now we see here the attitude of the Lord. Now the mind is one of the material elements of the Lord, which is under the control of material nature, which is under the complete control of the Supreme Lord. For the Lord, mind is nothing. But still, when Arjuna expresses his inability, Krishna is very kind. He is sympathetic. He says, undoubtedly it is very difficult. I understand. For a living entity, it is difficult. But the interesting thing is, in the very next verse, he says, asamyatatmana yogo dushprapya iti memati vashyatmana tu yatata shakyo avaptum upayata. In the very next verse, he says, asamyatatmana yogo dushprapya iti memati. But my dear Arjuna, if one doesn't control the mind, it won't be possible to attain perfection in self-realization. First he sympathizes, it's very difficult to control the mind. But immediately he adds, without controlling the mind, self-realization is difficult work. But one who is able to control the mind, one can attain perfection. It's like I gave the example of the mother and the small child. So the mother is so happy that the child is smiling. But after 1 year, if the child is only smiling, after 2 years, the child is only smiling, not doing anything else, not moving the limbs, not turning, not crawling, not walking. After 3 years, the child is still smiling. But now the mother will start crying, because it's no good news anymore. Because the mother expects the child to reciprocate more with the passage of time. So similarly, Krishna appreciates any small service rendered by the devotee. But at the same time, Krishna wants his devotees to render one-pointed devotional service to him. Without any deviation, wholehearted 100% devotional service is expected by the Lord from his devotee. Why? Because ahetuki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Only when the service to the Lord is uninterrupted and unmotivated can it completely satisfy the self. The Lord knows it more than us. So the Lord expects the devotee slowly but surely to come to this path of, come to the point of 100% surrender to his lotus feet. And so, this is what is expected of the devotee. And so in the Bhagavad Gita, while describing the path of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna says in the next verse, Vyasayatmika Buddhir, Ekeha Kurunandana, Bahushakha Yanantascha Buddhayo Avyavasayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the cruise, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So this is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga. On the one hand, Krishna is very sympathetic, very kind. At the same time, he is very strict and expects a lot from his devotees. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, during one of his early lectures in New York City, he was speaking to a group of hippies who had no understanding of what is Bhagavad Gita, what is Krishna consciousness, nothing. They didn't know who is Krishna, who is Ram, no idea whatsoever. They heard Bhagavad Gita is some good book. And many of them equated it with any other book which was available on spirituality at that particular point of time. One day one hippie came to Prabhupada and asked him, So tomorrow, what is going to be the topic of your class? Tibetan Book of the Dead? Now he expected that on different topics Prabhupada will go on speaking. Prabhupada said, tomorrow also Bhagavad Gita only. And Prabhupada added, each verse of the Bhagavad Gita has everything. We can discuss each verse for 3 months. So much is there in Bhagavad Gita. So one day he was lecturing to a group of hippies who had no understanding what is spirituality. And in the middle of the lecture, one drunkard enters the room. And everyone is disturbed. What is going on? Unnecessarily, why is he creating disturbance? So he blabbers something. Then he goes back. Prabhupada continues to lecture. And after some time, this drunkard returns with some tissue paper and places it in the bathroom. Because the first time he came, he observed that there was no tissue paper. So in the West, tissue paper is an important ingredient of bathrooms. So he found that there are no tissue papers. So the second time, he thought, let me render some service. So he brought some tissue papers. And Prabhupada recognized that and said that, just see, he is not in order. He is not in proper order. Still he is rendering some service. So Prabhupada appreciated that. But in the same lecture, he is urging his audience to commit themselves 100% to Krishna consciousness and become dedicated preachers of Krishna consciousness. That is the beauty of devotional service. Krishna and his devotees, they are so kind that they appreciate every small endeavor. At the same time, in due course of time, for our own good, they want us, they expect us to become more and more dedicated and become 100% engaged in their loving devotional service, because that is what will give us true happiness. Later on also, Srila Prabhupada, I was telling it last time, that how Prabhupada told Brahmananda Prabhu to go and preach in Pakistan. So when he was in Pakistan, war broke out between India and Pakistan. Meanwhile, Prabhupada was in Bombay and he got the news that 4 Hare Krishna devotees are killed in Pakistan. And Prabhupada became very worried that some of his followers might be killed there. And he was very worried about Brahmananda Prabhu. So when Brahmananda Prabhu arrived in Bombay, Prabhupada was feeling his entire body, his different limbs. Is everything okay? He was literally touching Brahmananda Prabhu. He was such a huge personality. Just like a mother touches the parts of the body of his body of her son after the son meets with some accident or something. Is everything okay? She wants to check out every limb. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada was checking out every limb of Brahmananda Prabhu. Is he okay or not? That was his affection. That was his appreciation for the service Brahmananda Prabhu was rendering. He showered so much of love. But the interesting thing is, immediately he was sent to Africa. Africa, nobody was there at that time. He was the first person, Hare Krishna devotee, to go on African soil and start preaching there. No devotee in Africa, and he's sent to Africa. After showing so much love, sent to Africa. A place filled with tribes. A continent of black magic. Every possible kind of danger. Why? That is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga. There is love. But just like a mother doesn't want to spoil her child, she wants her child to grow. So there is love, there is appreciation, but at the same time, the child is expected to dedicate himself. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, so that they could grow in Krishna consciousness, he used to put them into such situations. As giving the example of Bhurijan Prabhu and Jagatarini Mataji, how Prabhupada was remembering the service which was rendered by them. But from this example, we see how a devotee, even though he knows that the Lord will appreciate any service rendered, he wants to give his 100% for the service of the Lord. And that service to the Lord is done through the via medium of his representatives, the spiritual master. So later on, Bhurijan Prabhu, in 1977, Prabhupada became sick. He was a grahastha. So he sent $1,000 to Prabhupada to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Afterwards, he heard that Prabhupada was not recovering. So he sent half of his total amount of money he had, 50%, to Prabhupada, which amounted again to $1,000. Then he heard how Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and he had become more sick. Again he sent 50%. But then he felt that this could be the last chance to render service to my spiritual master. So he sent every penny he had to Prabhupada. Now he was a grahastha. It's a big sacrifice. So that is the way of attaining perfection. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. To be convinced and slowly but surely dedicate oneself 100% to be engaged totally in the service of the Lord and his devotees. In fact, Prabhupada, after he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922, he got initiated in 1933. But in the meanwhile, he was in Allahabad and even later, when he was going through Bhagavad Gita, he came across this particular verse, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on it, which says that how yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadad nagati kutopi, that one can please the Supreme Lord by following the instructions of the spiritual master with one's heart and soul. And he was very inspired by this particular commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It inspired him greatly to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So it's a very, very significant shloka for us from that point of view also, because Prabhupada was greatly inspired by this particular verse. So to conclude, Srila Prabhupada, out of his kindness, he has provided us beautiful facilities to practice Krishna consciousness. Wonderful temples, wonderful prasad, wonderful everything, so that we can fix our mind on Krishna. Because Krishna consciousness means engaging the mind in Krishna's service 24 hours a day. So Prabhupada created a system, an environment where every possible opportunity is provided, every possible facility is provided to engage the mind 100% in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now it's up to us. Vyasaya atmika buddhi ekaya kuru nandana. The Lord is always merciful, is showing his kindness. But it is a reciprocation of the devotee to be one-pointed in attention in serving the Lord and serving the spiritual master by engaging the mind and the senses in the devotional service of the Lord. And a sincere devotee does it, aspires to do it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the course of his Sankirtan movement, one day he was doing Sankirtan in Navadvip. And his devotees were feeling hungry. On the spot, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu planted a mango seed in the ground. And because he is the Supreme Lord, by his potency, the mango tree grew. And instantly there were mangoes on the tree. And these mangoes, very special, big juicy mangoes, with no skin and no seed, only pulp and very juicy. And Mahaprabhu personally distributed these mangoes to his devotees. And he chose the mangoes in such a way that it was perfectly suited for their level of hunger. This is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave these mangoes to these devotees, to his own devotees, as a service to them. So His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was narrating this pastime in Mayapur Yatra. And after narrating this pastime, he added, it is not that the devotees ate this mango and lied on their left side and went to sleep. After eating the mangoes, they continued Sankirtan and performed more Sankirtan. Now I felt that maybe he's telling this because many devotees had come late that day for the lecture. Maybe many of them were taking rest after the afternoon lunch. But nonetheless, this is what is expected by the devotees, that they engage in the service of the Lord. The Lord is eager to serve the devotees, and the devotees eager to serve the Lord. This is a transcendental competition in the spiritual world. The Lord feels that the devotee has done so much. Even the devotee has done little service, the Lord feels he has done so much service. And the devotee is dedicating himself fully, but still he feels, I am doing so little. And as His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj put it in one of his classes in Vrindavan, in this way life goes on in the spiritual world. Transcendental reciprocation. Thank you very much. Any questions? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.